Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. Live from Las Vegas. Thank you for joining us. Hosting tonight, along with myself, Justin. I just like to call Justin. I don't like some of the other names that some of the guys call you, so they're not very nice. I don't know where they come from, but we won't go there.
They come from Gary. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, we should make some up for Gary, huh? Something a little more. Unplugged.
Old man, grandpa, same difference.
Hey, again, thanks for co-hosting tonight. Of course, JJ's been out ill, so.
It's a little quiet in here.
Yeah, get well, you know. We don't have Gary to pick on. At least we do have Gary to pick on, but he can't defend himself.
So we can still talk.
Right, exactly. So we may still talk some crap about you, Gary. If I don't know if he's listening or not. He's
sitting in Texas.
On a trip. So
he's only with family. I mean, what else better to do than listen to the show?
Right. Of course. Hope everybody had a safe and fulfilled vacation, Christmas vacation, holiday season here. So, how about you, man?
Pretty good. Yeah. I mean, a lot of family
around,
time. A lot of family time, and
yeah. You go to your mom's.
My mom does a buffet Christmas.
Oh. And you didn't go to the buffet?
I went to the buffet, and then I stuffed myself there, and then had to go to my girlfriend's house and stuff myself there. There was a buffet, and then there was prime rib, so I didn't eat that much at the buffet.
Yeah.
And then there was prime rib at the other, you know, at her grandma's house. So I was like, okay, we can do this.
I'm all for prime rib. I know when...
Between ham and prime rib at that house, it was good.
Cool. What was at the buffet?
Just normal buffet stuff.
Just like a holiday spread?
No, it was literally normal buffet, Chinese food, Asian food. I like orange chicken, so
right.
I chowed down with some orange chicken. But
who doesn't like orange chicken? Oh, man.
I've been there pretty good. How about yourself?
Cool. You know, not too bad. Just kind of quiet. We didn't do a whole lot. So, but that's kind of how we like it, you know, after many years of tormenting us. Nothing against our kids or anything, but it was good. It was good. It was quiet. We actually went to the movies.
The older you get, the better it gets.
Yeah. Sometimes.
It's not as magical when you're older. Like, I figured out, you know, we have a 3-year-old, mm-hmm. So that kind of... On Christmas Eve, I was up until almost 2 o'clock in the morning putting stuff together for her.
See?
So
yeah, tree set
up. It's a little nice.
You get to play Santa Claus, huh?
Putting things together after she goes to bed, and then she wakes up and walks downstairs, and she's staring at you like, I'm not doing nothing.
Yeah.
But it's nice.
Cool.
It brings a little bit of that magic back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like us. We didn't put up a tree or anything this year. Usually we do. We have for... every year in the past, but this is kind of the first year we kind of just nothing.
That's what my mom, like, I moved out of my mom's house, my brother moved out, and all of a sudden she just was like, well, no need to celebrate.
Yeah, exactly. You guys are adults now, you know.
she makes around our house
right
now. And
the smart thing to do. Yeah. Good job, Sue. So, cool. You know, Merry Christmas. Belated Merry Christmas to everybody. Of course, you know, last week was Johnny Spilotro here in studio. If you missed that show and you want to catch any of it or any other shows in the past, we've had Danny Fitzgerald, Chet.
That's always a good show with Chet.
A lot of great shows. If you want to check out any of the archives, you can go to the onwheelsnow.com blue highlighted link. You just click on that and it'll take you to all the past shows. And you can scroll back. There's probably 200-something shows on there. We got more, but we don't have them all posted.
The other day, I tried to re-listen to the show from last week, and I don't know what happened. I got a show from like 3 months ago, and I was like, I had to listen for a second, be like, is this the show? No, I don't remember this.
Right. Yeah. Well, I need to go back through and kind of relabel some, because a lot of the early shows they didn't date and so on. So you have to kind of listen to figure out what dates they are.
And every show starts out the same, so you have to listen to like the first 10
right.
minutes.
That's our catch. That's how we get you.
Listen to the first 10 minutes to see if it's the same show
right.
or not.
But again, I want to thank everybody for joining us and again for co-hosting. We got just me and you tonight, so JJ's out ill. Hopefully he gets well soon, and Gary, he's enjoying some family time back.
I don't know how much family time you can enjoy. After a couple of days, kind of like, it's time to separate.
You got the whole year to separate. So next,
I'll see you next Christmas.
Man, I can't believe how quick this year just snuck up.
It flew by.
I don't know where it went. I'm, to be honest, I'll be glad when this year is over. Just a lot of things happening this year, so it'd be nice to get it over with, start fresh, get some New Year's resolutions going.
I'm horrible at those.
I think most people are.
I always say I'm going to do better, and it never happens.
You got to write the list and then kind of look at it later. Like, oh, man.
Come like June. Come my birthday. I'm going to look at the list like,
what was I thinking?
I don't know why I decided to do that.
Oh, man. And, of course, this time of season is very little racing going on, except on TV. You found us some dirt sprint car racing on TV for tonight.
It's better than a tractor pull. I can take sprint cars any day.
Hey, I like the tractor pull. I think it's one of those things you got to be at, you know? I mean, it's just different. When I was back in Florida quite a while ago, there was tractor pulls there all the time, and they're always fun to be at.
Have you ever done any other racing besides circle track?
I've done street racing. Yeah, but that's about it. Not really any other type of racing.
Did you ever have interest in any other racing?
Yeah, I've not professionally or too deep into the hobby. I've done some motorcycle racing, not motocross, but sport bike stuff on, you know, just real light stuff on tracks. But that's about it. Nothing.
Oh, you're breaking stuff again.
I'm good at that. But no, that's about it. So. I like circle track, you know. I personally like asphalt over dirt, but you ask anybody. You know,
I started going opposite
different.
Lately.
Really?
I think it's a change of scenery. I've been doing it 10 years, you know.
Right.
Been around asphalt. So I think it's just a change of scenery.
So when was your first, like, taste of dirt? Was it in the Dwarfs, or did you have it in the Bombers before?
We ran the Bombers 2013 when I met with Gary, and Gary kind of forced me to make the decision to go out there, and he convinced me, and him and JJ took me under and kind of said, hey, well, this is what you do. And they looked at me the first time I ever got in the car, and they're like, you will spin out, you will embarrass yourself. And I didn't spin out or embarrass myself.
So you're like, hey,
and I was like,
as hard as it looks. Come on, guys.
It's not as hard as it looks. It is completely different.
Right.
I got my ass handed to me that night, but it is what it is. And
so that's the problem. So you weren't driving hard enough to spin out, or
Chet Kushner was actually actually announcing in Perm.
Cool.
He had known me from Vegas for years and years, and he announced my first bowling race.
Right.
In 2008. And then he announced out there, and you hear him in a video on YouTube, if you look it up, and you hear him say, come on, let it go, Justin, let it go. just throw it in there. You will survive.
Right.
It's different because in asphalt, you want to stick it to the bottom, and in dirt, you don't want to stick it to the bottom because usually it's nothing but slush down there, and you're going right up the track. So you gotta learn how to, like, go to the top groove. Got to run the Aaron McMorrin line. Just bounce it off the wall a couple of times. You'll be good.
That's easy when it's somebody else's car, right? No, I'm just kidding, Aaron. No, you know, hey, you know, dirt racing is different, but that's something. Did you think you were, like, driving harder than you actually were? I mean, did you feel like you were pitching it in there real deep and all that, but then somebody else told you, hey, man, you need to really pitch it a lot more?
You're coughing still.
That's all right. We'll give you a cough break here.
Yeah. All
right, break's over.
When you're on the track, you think you're driving harder than you are, and then you see a video or something, and you realize, damn, I could have done this better. I could have done that better. Why am I going so slow?
Do you have a tack in your car, or are you watching RPM, or just listening?
Yeah,
or?
I had the tack. I mean, my biggest thing was I had my Bowling motor in the car, and coming off the corner, I needed to learn how to eggshell it off the corner, and I couldn't just romp on it as you do with the Bullring. You kind of get back in it. You have to kind of feather it in, and it's different. I mean, it's as the years went on, I got better and better, and then I jumped in the Dwarf car, and that was a completely different
animal. I'm surprised you even fit in there, to be honest.
Well, luckily, Mark Dilley was the car I was driving, the 17X, and he's 6'3", he had the floor pan dropped.
Wow.
So we can both fit in the car, and those are different animals. And when I went to Mojave for the first time, that was the first I went to help.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, you're going to drive the car today. And I was like, no, I'm not. I had no interest. I wanted to, but it was somebody else's car, and you don't want to wreck somebody else's car. And then I actually came over here and talked to Gary and JJ, and they were here working on their car. And they're like, well, we'll make the trip out there. We'll watch, but I don't think you should do it, because they were kind of in the same boat as not your car, but they, I jumped in it anyway. And imagine that they didn't listen to Gary. I'll hear about that one.
Oh, you go. Yeah. You probably do every other day.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you ran the Mojave. First of all,
Mojave is a very,
was that
fun
the
track.
First time you've been on that track?
I had never actually even been to Mojave. I never even seen the track.
Wow.
And we made the trip up there, and I'm looking, and I'm like, there's no wall there.
Yeah.
There's only wall on the front stretch. And we filled the 14 Dwarf cars that day, and the heat race was the first time I even drove the car.
Hmm.
I didn't even load the car in the trailer that day.
Wow.
And me driving the lineup was the first time I actually put it in gear and drove the car.
Oh,
so I was like, this is a little weird. And I went out for the heat race, and I finished 8th at 8th, and I was kind of like babying it, and every kind of yelled at me, like, you could do better than that. And then the main event, the first lap of the main event, 14 cars, I started last. A car hit the tractor tire on the infield, barrel rolled over top of me.
Oh, wow.
I seen him upside down staring at me, and I was like, I don't like this.
Yeah, this is supposed to happen.
Bombers don't flip. it takes a special kind of special to flip a bomber. No offense to anybody that flipped the bomber. But.
Yeah. There's one or two that do know how to flip a bomber, but that's crazy. That's cool, though. So first time at Mojave, first time in a Dwarf.
Yeah, I ended up finishing 7th that night.
Nice.
Out of 14.
That
so,
ain't
I mean,
bad.
Not bad. And then the second time, the only person to beat me was Cecilia, and which is, she's really good at what she does. And I was okay to finish 2nd to her. And that was all I raced in Pahrump. And that was Pahrump I've known before, so you kind of know the track. No matter what you drive, the track is still the same.
Right. Well, so what do you think, what were some of the differences between, you're talking about a Dwarf car, which is, you know, I don't even know the scale in wheelbase, versus a bomber, obviously.
In my Monte Carlo, in the bomber, on dirt, it felt like you were turning and turning and turning and turning and turning just to get it to turn. In the Dwarf car, you're full speed, and you touch the wheel to the left, and you're going left. Like
they have a quick steer.
Yeah, they have the quickeners
in
them, and
it's
a completely different animal. And, of course, they're a lot faster. And
right, your horsepower ratio to the ground is quite a bit more.
In the bomber, you have a whole other side of the car. You think you're closer than you are, and then the Dwarf car, you're like, I'm really close to that wall, as you feel like you can reach out the window and touch it. And I don't like that feeling where you see the wall, like, and those cars are so tiny, you actually see the wall is like at your head level. So, you know, if you hit that wall, there's a possibility you're hitting that wall. You're physically hitting that wall. So
that's part of the excitement, isn't it? The adrenaline rush, the danger involved. That's why some of us race is the danger factor.
Adrenaline.
I mean, that's got to be something that intrigued you about being in the car. You ever think about doing some more either Dwarf or Legend type cars?
I would not do Legends. I don't like. I don't think there's enough talent in the Legends as you see the wrecking. I think there's too many on the track, and when you get the pros and the young lions out there together, I don't think it's a good idea half the time when they have 32 cars out there and you see the wrecks.
Well, it's been a while since they've had that many cars. It's been pretty dwindled down, and I think part of that problem is diverse. You know, you got a lot of new, younger drivers, like you said, in the young guns or whatever they call
them,
young lions. But then you also got the pros and the...
And I think sometimes those two together is a little sketchy, but... And you've seen some of the bad wrecks over the last couple of years. There's been a couple pretty bad ones, and at least with the dwarf cars, I trust in most of the guys. There's a couple of them that I wouldn't trust, but I mean, it was pretty nice. The open wheels really get me. When you see a car sliding up next to you and you're like, don't hit me, don't hit me, don't hit me, because you know those wheels connect, and one of you are going airborne, and those cars flip so easy. But
well, you know, that's something I think that's a little bit different in a Legend than, let's say, a Dwarf. It seems like the Dwarf cars on dirt aren't as regulated, I guess. I mean, I know they have their rules and all that to with the Nerf bars and all that to keep that from happening, but it seems like it's not as regulated. Let's say the Legend cars, they're pretty strict on the same height of the bumpers and the Nerf bars and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, with the Dwarf cars, unfortunately, they started running like the mod lights with them, which are kind of sort of the same thing. They just have a mod body on them. The shocks are different. The motors are a little different. And when you get two of those cars hooked up, and then in the Dwarf cars, there's pickups, there's milk trucks, they call them, there's delivery trucks, and there's just different styles. So, you know, the bodies don't always line up perfect, just as you would with the sedan and the, you know, and the, there's newer and older Legend cars, and sometimes they don't always line up, you know. And that's when the danger starts. But it's the same with the Bombers. You have cars that are Monte Carlos, and then you got guys that are driving Chevelles that are, you know, 3 to 4 inches longer or shorter, you know.
But what about, you know, let's say the Bombers, whether it's on dirt or asphalt, out at LVMS this past year, it was a little different Bomber races than you, because you didn't race last year at all. Well, you
one
did.
Race, one
race. But it wasn't in your car or anything like that.
And it was a breakout race. So it was those races are just different.
I think they're fun. But anyway,
I love the breakout races.
It just brings a different element, I guess. A lot of guys don't like it. You know, half guys do, half guys don't, I guess. But what about like a super stock or something like that? You ever thought about maybe something that's a stock car but has a little more horsepower?
We did the super stocks in 2007, my brother, and just the money, you know, if I had sponsors, and I would love to go super stock racing. I mean, besides, other than the Bombers, I think that's the next best class.
Oh, man, to me, this past year has been one of the most exciting races, I guess, because it's real close racing. Of course, young guys like Johnny Spilotro out there, you know.
Johnny Russell.
Love or hate him, you know, he's bringing some excitement out there. You know, you're going to have some banging and stuff going on. Unfortunately, sometimes a little too much, but it happens. But that's some close racing. That's horsepower is, you know, pretty close to each other. The talent that was out there is pretty close to each other. You know, a lot of tight racing. I thought it was pretty exciting. I'd love to see that division grow.
Yeah, when my brother ran it in 2008, it was like 2007, 2008. That's when Phil Goodwin was still running, Mario Papari, all them guys. And there was like 13 to 14 cars. Vinny Rucci Sr. was still in those cars. And back then, it always was nice. Jerry Gentry was still in the car back then. So there was always a good car count. And then it dwindled down. And then for a couple of years, there was only like 4 or 5 cars.
Right.
And I'm happy to see now at the end of last year, they were up to 9 or 10.
Right.
And I know Jim Marlino just bought a super stock, so he's jumping out of the Bomber to go super stock racing.
Cool.
So
that should be fun. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, nothing against guys like Phil Goodwin. You know, the guys like that figured it out fast, and they're always up front. It sucks, but hey, you know, you got to give them guys credit for figuring that out and getting it done.
It's
you know?
Just like
but,
the Pete Myers and the Sam Jacks and Kyle Jacks, and, you know, it sucks. Sometimes it sucks to watch as a fan, and especially as another driver, you know, getting your butt handed to you every week. But
well, because then what you start thinking is, okay, something's got to happen to them for me to even have a chance to get first. Otherwise, I'm looking at second, third, fourth, maybe not even a first. You don't think about that first place anymore unless something happens, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, so. I think that's why the car count goes down sometimes. Right. I mean, you see the guys like myself that I'm just kind of out there. I want to win. Right. I would love to win. But, you know, at that point you're kind of just out there like you're out there battling with, the guys you've been battling with all year. And
is that kind of the draw you have towards the dirt right now? Because I know Gary and JJ and the guys said for the Bombers, at least the Bomber division, to be able to take your car from an asphalt and not do anything to it really except run it on the dirt and to be a 15th place car on the asphalt, you have a chance to win on any given night on the dirt at Pahrump anyway.
In my eyes, it takes more driver to win in Pahrump. And you don't need the big motor. You don't need the big, the big wallet pretty much to win in Pahrump or any other dirt track, even in the dwarf cars.
But it shouldn't be a wallet thing at LVMS either, because
there
are a
set
of rules that limit a lot of that, right?
Yeah, we know some of those people are in the gray area. But I think even in the dwarf cars, it was more any given night, there's a different winner most of the time, and I like that. And I like the fact that you can go out in my car, like my Bomber, where I was a 10th, 5th through 10th place car in Vegas, and I was battling first or second in Pahrump.
Right.
And I think it's more of, just driver ability. And a lot of the guys that have went out there, like Jason Solins came out there and he said the same thing,
mm-hmm.
where he had pretty much the same exact car I had, but he couldn't figure out dirt right away.
Right.
Where there's other guys that they jump on dirt and they get it.
Get it instantly.
And then Carl DeRay, the 17 car from Vegas, mm-hmm. he came out to Pahrump this year and he had the big motor in still. And I was like, you don't want that. I was like, you don't want your boring motor in it. Because you're just going to spin it out and, you have all that horsepower. Unless you figure out, like I had back when I started racing in Pahrump, we were still able to run 400s in Vegas. Mm-hmm. So I had my 400 in it. And every time I come out of the corner, it just wanted to whip around on me. And I'm like, this is not okay right now. But as the year went on, like I said, it just got faster and faster and faster and faster. So.
Yeah, that's something I miss at Vegas when at least in the Bomber division, the old Bombers, like when they had the big long Cadillacs and the 7-inch stock rims with the the smaller tires and different things like that. It was
Like when Scotty Castle drove the S810, that big black Cadillac, and that was when the Bomber for Bombers, and when Billy Grasser was out there on the Thunderbird, and when Gary and JJ were still out there, that was when I started really liking the Bombers, and that's when I kind of made the decision, I want a Bomber now.
Right.
But.
Nah, hey, that's maybe those days are over, but doesn't mean there's not still a lot of good racing coming up, even in the Bomber division. Hopefully next year they keep growing. It is a affordable class out there, and Tim, has added more entertainment classes like the skid plate cars, which that's a big hit.
I want to try a skid plate car. I think it's a good challenge, and I like challenge every now and then. And when Gary jumped in, when Tim Richter put Gary in the car, Gary said it was one of the most fun things he's ever done, but it was one of the hardest things he's ever done.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean.
Well, look at anybody you talk to that has gotten into a skid plate car with all the racing experience they have. They all say the same thing. It's been nothing but fun. It's been a blast. They're not easy to drive,
I know Jeff Bergerhoff, he ran Bombers with us for a couple of years, and I had a lot of fun racing him, and some of my best memories of Bomber racing was a practice on a Friday night. Me, JJ, and him were door to door, three wide, just messing around.
Right.
I mean, we were the only ones on the track, and JJ, and him all got out, and we had nothing but smiles.
Right.
I mean, we're not the fastest guys. We're not the best drivers out there, but hey, we were having
play together.
We were having fun because we trusted each other enough to go three wide and know it is a practice, but we're still going to play around.
Right.
And that's the most fun you have. And that's why I like racing Bombers, because I have so many friends in the Bombers. If I'm racing for dead last, but it's racing with Gary or JJ or Arlie or somebody like that. It's fun.
Yeah.
And like your son Mikey, when we were racing together, me and him always had a
by each other, right?
We always had fun because we would get out of the car and say, "Hey, good race," and we wouldn't be mad at each other, but we raced each other hard.
Yeah.
So
good tight racing. That's always fun. You know, I've told you know, Gary and Jay that JJ, you know, them guys sometimes. I have more fun just on practice nights sometimes, you know, it takes the competition level out of it and just you're out there, you're having fun, you're trying different things, nothing, you know, not giving up anything, you know, it's on a practice night. So I have fun on practices as well as.
It's funny because I'll go out there and I'll purposely get the car sideways just to find the breaking point of
try to do something different,
you know, and then I always have the mindset, I'm going to go out there. I need to find my breaking point. I need to find how hard I can drive it in, and then tomorrow night I'll be good during the race.
Right.
And come race time, you're just like, you don't want to spin it out.
You're getting into your old habits again.
Yes, exactly.
But hey, that's how it is. That's what practices are for. You know, you want to try different things. Let's say you do get in a situation, you know, on a race night or something like that. You know, at least you've experienced what the car is going to do at in different situations. You know, so I don't. Some guys don't practice at all. I don't get that sometimes. You know, I feel like most guys should.
I mean, guys like Aaron McMorrin and them, I don't see them coming out because they know damn well what their car has. They know they're going to be up front, and Aaron's just, he can drive.
Well, he's got the experience.
He has the experience and stuff, and you'll see nights out there that I'm out there going balls to the wall trying to just, and there's been nights that I spun it out on purpose just to have fun. And just because I was the only one on the track, I was like, okay, here we go.
Right.
And, you know, you always got to get that good photo for Rob's tree. He has a couple good photos where I have my finger out the window, giving him a thumbs up as I'm sliding into the corner.
Yeah, speaking of Rob Street, that's really glad you brought it up. You know, you want some good photos out at the track or even off the track if you want to get a hold of Rob Street. He'll take some great pictures. I forget what is, you remember?
Euro Street Publishing.
Euro Street Publishing. Look him up. He's on Facebook, everywhere else. I don't have it in hand reach, the information, but it's close by. So
I got long arms. We're good.
So, right there. So, of course, Rob Street at Duo Street Publishing.
Also, happy belated birthday to Mr. Rob Street.
When was his birthday?
Christmas Eve. I almost said New Year's
Eve. No way.
Christmas Eve.
Oh, man, he's been robbed of a lot of presents.
Oh, yeah.
His whole life.
It's right under the...
Okay. But, happy belated birthday to you, Rob. Of course, you can get a hold of Rob Street through, I think it's robstreetracing.com is the website. If I'm wrong, I'll hear about it, so...
he usually messages me during the show talking about it, so...
But
yes, Gary. I know Gary's listening. He just said, "And the Bombers are still better." So,
cool.
I love racing my Bombers. So,
hey, speaking of the Bombers and the streets, the super stocks, I guess nowadays. Have you been in any other asphalt car on the track at all? Not even on a practice night. No, super late. No,
I ran a Thunder Roadster one time. It wasn't for me. I don't know.
Was it like just a hot lap type thing, or did you?
It was a
able
practice
to open
night.
It, up?
It was a practice night. I got to go out there, and David Brandon actually let me jump in one, and it wasn't for me. I don't know if it's just.
Is it because they're like long and just like different?
To be honest, they felt slower than the Bomber. I know they're faster than the Bomber. They didn't, or the fact that there's only three cars. I mean that kind of got me and.
Well, that's the thing. I guess ultimately, time wise, they might be faster than the Bombers, but you don't. It's consistent speed through the corners and the straightaways, where the Bombers are all on and off. You know, you get a little different racing experience from that. But you know, hey, the Thunder Roadsters just for some reason locally haven't really taken off. I mean, other states they have, you know, taken off, but just for some reason here they just haven't, unfortunately. So. Yeah.
That, you know, those are something I want to drive one day.
Talking about the
410 sprint car. Those things are insane. They're insane to watch.
Right.
And seeing guys like Rico Abreu, who he's literally a dwarf, and he gets in there and can't even reach the pedals. It's all adjusted, and he goes out there and whoops a guy's asses. And I'm like, okay.
That's a little
respect for you.
You know, I'll tell you what, some of the talking about the World of Outlaw guys and the sprint cars, them guys earn every bit of respect for their driving experience and their abilities, because that is some crazy driving.
You got guys like Kyle Larson, who he's in Cup now, who I'm a big fan of because I watched him in sprint cars, and he always would put on a show. And now he's doing it in the Cup Series, where he's one of the top guys anymore. He's one of those up and coming. Like, hey, the next couple of years, I got a championship.
Oh yeah.
So.
No, that's true. You know, Kyle Larson is definitely one to watch. Guys like Kyle Busch, I've seen him do stuff on the track that looks like he came from dirt racing. And he's had some dirt races, but not from a dirt background. Right.
He was always better at asphalt. Kurt was always better at dirt. Kurt drive a dwarf car, he was always better at dirt. But now he's up in the Cup Series, I mean, got to pay the bill somehow, right?
Hey, that's where they both have talent, obviously. They're doing things that some guys wish they can only wish for. So, but anyways, so you haven't been to anything else except for the Thunder Roadsters?
Yeah.
Any like ambition for, let's say, a modified or a super late or anything like that?
If the opportunity came,
which would you prefer? I mean, what direction?
I would love to drive a modified. Always like the modifieds. I super late.
Do you like say, hey, Aaron, we need to work something out here.
I don't think that's happening.
You're not pushing hard enough, man.
I would love to drive a modified, but again, I wouldn't want to drive somebody else's, because I trust myself. It's the other people on the track sometimes that you kind of
most of the time in the modified division, for the most part, I think the guys that are running the modifieds are pretty good drivers.
Yeah.
They're respectful. Modifieds obviously aren't like a super late model. You do have some more rubbing and tapping and things going on, but I like the old, like when Aaron started out in the modified it was back in those days. That's when I first got into modified, was around the same time. I remember him, I was like, man, he had pretty decent finishes and stuff. I was like, man, this kid's, gonna do pretty well if he sticks to it, and he did. So I like the old IMCA asphalt modified days.
Yeah, I know they ran those down in Tucson now, and that's when Aaron went down there, and it's just a different feel. It's a different competition, not like the Lucas Oil. They kind of those guys, they have a lot of money in their cars.
Right.
And in the day when like Wayne Morris Jr. drove when the IMCA, it didn't seem like it was such a money thing.
It actually did become that, because what happened was when they first came out in Vegas, it was the IMCA, which a lot of times when it was the IMCA, they had a claimer motor, your 355. Claimer motor, you could run I think some guys did run a 383, but 355 claimer motor was pretty much the engine at the time with those DOT tires, the G60 tire, I think it was from American Racer. But you're limited by the tire, you're limited by the claimer motor and all that, which today you're talking about, let's say Tucson, they run the 602 crate motor, which is kind of equivalent to the 355 that they used to run. But when Wayne Morris and them started running, what happened was it started turning into a horsepower, because they went to the Grand American modified rules after that. It was a claimer class, but it was a higher claim. And at that point, it was just an asphalt division, and it never, it just took off from there, I guess.
I mean, that's just like what happened to the Bombers.
Right.
I mean, they were the fun class, and now there's NASCAR sanctioned, and it got out of hand. And I will admit I don't miss the wet track races stuff like that.
I don't mind those races, because at the time when they first started the Bomber division, it was supposed to be an enduro racing, 100 laps, you know, with wet track, all that
no
stuff.
No cautions.
Right. That was the idea. Yeah. And, of course, over time, you got started getting guys in there that, that looked at it more like a street stock division, you know. But
I miss the racing back then, watching, like, JJ and Anthony Finley and Gary and Wade Pearson and everything like that, where you can throw, like, a blanket over the, you know, the top 10 guys. Anybody can win that night. It was more who did better that night. And now it's more, well, I'm fighting for eighth place. And
well, you know, hopefully some of that racing will come back. You know, Tim out of LVMS, of course, you can go to LVMS.com, click on the bull ring link and keep an eye out there for the upcoming rules and schedules and all that. But Tim's bringing the old style modifieds back. He's throwing in, you know, the crate motor as the package to run. I don't know if there's going to be any options or not, so we'll have to keep an eye out for that, because you think there, you know, there's some modifieds out there, older ones, that, you know, a lot of guys don't want to change over to the crate motor. So maybe there's some different options. I don't know if there's weight penalties or whatever that's going to happen if a guy does have a, let's say, a stroker motor or something he still wants to run, but we'll see. But, you know, that's the whole idea, is to get a division out there where your horsepower is not dictating the winner every race.
Yeah.
You know, you got, you know, a group of guys that, that on any given night can win, and that's going to build that division up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing with super stocks these days. I mean, as you see, like, Matt Larson, Court Connell, Johnny Splatra, Mason Sargent, they're all, they all had wins this year, you know. I'm probably forgetting somebody. Oh, Chuck DeGuevara came back after, like, I don't think he's been in the car in, like, 20 years.
Right.
And he came back out and won.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Justin and Jason Kaiser both have won this year. Some, like, 14 races. There was at least, like, 8 different winners. I mean, of course, Court still got the championship and everything. And that was just a fast car. That was, I know that was Vinny's old car.
Right.
And Vinny was always fast, and it's a lot to do with that car, just as fast. And then Court, I had a lot of respect for him when I raced the Bombers with him. He never
right.
touched me once. So no matter if we were racing for first or 23rd, you know, he never did me dirty. So I had a lot of respect for him. And Matt was always one of my favorite guys when he raced the Bombers, Matt mm-hmm. Larson. And now I cheer for him in the Super Stocks, because and you want to see a different winner every night. So,
have you heard, like, a lot of them guys returning back to the Super Stocks? I mean, is there any buzz out there?
I'm pretty sure that Matt Cunningham will be back in a Super Stock, which mm-hmm. he's been bouncing around. He was in a Legend car earlier this year. I know he bought Barbara Bukowski's 37 car. I know that's now the 18. Matt Larson will most likely be in a Super Stock. I heard Court has a super late model. I'm not sure how true it is. I mean,
we'll see. We'll see.
It's only time will tell, but
right.
I know Dylan Smotherman will probably be in the super stock.
Did they fix that? I mean, that she had a pretty bad wreck.
As far as I know, I'm not
that
sure.
Long ago,
did she run the Fall Classic? I was at
I don't,
on Fall
you know,
Classic.
I don't remember, to be honest, but I know she wrecked, you know, pretty decent.
I forgot who she got into it with, but yeah, I remember her spinning out, or somebody spun out in front of her and she hit him. I remember that, but I'm, you know, I hope that class grows, because I like that class.
Oh yeah, I
between supers and bombers, I kind of like them. You know, the super lates kind of get boring when there's only like 8 or 9 cars,
right.
But you got guys like Justin Johnson that can flat out drive. You can put him in a turret and he's still going to drive
right.
it to the front. And,
you know, that's just it. You know, obviously, it sounds like you like the old stock car type mm-hmm. racing, like the super stocks and the bombers. But, you know, the divisions like super late models look like they grew last year. By the end of the year, you know, the division's growing again. You know, I think you see a lot of economic changes happening. You know, it doesn't look as, stable. I mean, it's stable, but it's moving up in an upward motion. You know, I think people are seeing that and they're spending the money. And
yeah, I mean, Kaylee Barker came alive at the end of last year.
Yeah,
she was qualifying really good.
Oh,
and
big time.
She just got to put that race together. And I think she has the the want to win. And
oh yeah,
then you got guys like Jay Beasley that come back every now and then, and you know
they're always
fun,
fast,
and
right?
They're always fun to watch when Jay Beasley and Justin Johnson get next to each other. And I know Jimmy Parker Jr., he came back for the Fall Classic. I know he had a bad night, but
right.
I think that was in a Spears car.
Right.
So
yeah,
I know Kaylee. I know she's in post, and I thought she was saying she was going, you know, to do.
We'll give you a cough break. There you go. A little water break for you.
I know she was talking about doing SRL cars, so that would be fun to watch. And
that'd be cool.
I know she had a. I know she right after the Fall Classic, the short track championships or whatever. Mm-hmm. I know she did the SRL car, so. That'd be fun to watch.
You didn't watch. You weren't there for that either. Yeah, I didn't.
I think I was in Prump for that.
Was it?
Yeah, I was in Prump a lot at the end of the year.
Right.
Helping out Gary and Arlen.
That's where the coughs come from. All that dirt you got in your throat from dirt racing.
I lost a lot of the want to be out of the bullring anymore. You know, I'm starting to really like going back to dirt. But I like 2-3 years ago, I was racing dirt. I was actually trying to do both. And
you don't get tired of that drive, huh? Hour and what, 15?
To be honest, sometimes that's good.
Both ways.
Because there's nights that I left the bowling at like 11:30 and I'm up until 2:00 in the morning because your adrenaline is still pumping. And you know, you load up as soon as you come off the track. But you know, you knew us. We all sat around and bullshitted for another hour and a half and watched the rest of the races and stuff. But in Prump, we come home. You know, we go to dinner. That's a 45-minute drive home, and it's nice and relaxing, right. And you calm down, and then you get to go to sleep. You don't have that adrenaline pumping still. And
well, you know, I know that was something that has been an issue in the past for a lot of tracks is finishing too late.
Yeah.
You know, so then you are getting home at midnight or 2:00 in the morning, and so on. But you know, a lot of tracks I think are pulling back, trying to finish by 10:00.
Yeah.
You know, that way it's, you know, for the spectators at least, you know, they're finishing at a decent hour and all that. And of course the drivers have a chance to wind down and still do stuff with their families.
I know Prump's issue sometimes is they got the kid carts, which are the mini dwarfs,
yeah.
So they call them. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes watching those, I mean, I understand where they're coming from. You want to get the kids into them young, but there's some kids that are just, they need a couple more years before they are part of the big show.
Well, and that's the thing. Yeah, and nothing against the kids, yeah, you know, because
exactly.
That they're the up and coming and all that, like the Bandoleros at the asphalt and stuff. You know, those guys, you know, those kids, you know, are learning and all that. But I've seen that at a couple different dirt tracks and other tracks where they have these really young junior races and they let them go for way too long. You know, that's my opinion. Just like you have your own opinion.
It's not against the kids,
right.
But I agree 100% on that. And
I mean, obviously, if your kid was in one of those, you're like, yeah,
exactly.
Give him 5 hours. Yeah, we'll let him run. It's okay.
I think Aaron McMorrin did it good with Little A.
Mm-hmm.
He went go kart racing. He got the aspect of, hey,
right.
This is what we can and can't do. And
right.
I think go karts is, you know, the best for that. And you know, even if you go to like fast lap or
mm-hmm.
you know pole position or anything, it gets them that experience in the car. But
right.
I think jumping on a track in one of these cars without having any experience whatsoever,
right.
Shit, at 16 when I jumped in my first bomber, I went out there thinking it was, oh, it's just like driving a normal car on the road,
right.
And it's completely not
really
like that.
Oh yeah.
It's more than making left-hand turns a lot.
I've been in the stands before, and you hear, you know, obviously, unless you are into the race, you don't know what it takes to actually go in circles, whether it's on dirt or on the asphalt, and you hear spectators, oh, man, I'm going to bring my Camaro out, and I beat half these guys, and, you know, well, it's not like that.
There's a lot more science behind it.
Right.
Getting the car to do this and getting the car to do that and not do this and...
And that's the fun about, let's say, jumping from a bomber into, let's say, a super stock or a different division, because you have a lot more adjustments, a lot more mistakes to make.
You know, my brother said it. I heard Court Connell say it, that driving a bomber is a different world than driving a super stock. A super stock, you kind of put it there, and 80% of the time it's going to stick. In a bomber, you can go in a corner, it stick one lap, and the next
right.
lap, it's like, and you're up in the wall, you know. But I will admit that the Bombers are a handful to drive sometimes, but other they're so much fun to drive because it keeps you,
right.
You know, it keeps you having fun.
Well, you know, that's something out here at LVMS. Again, I'll say it, LVMS. You can go to LVMS.com, click on the Bullring link, keep an eye out for the schedules and all that there. But the I think the Bomber division is going to be pretty decent this year. You know, you got a lot of guys that came and gone. I don't know who all's coming back, but I think there'll be a chance for guys to be able to push for a win, you know, or do well. You know, you don't always have to. Obviously, we all want to have a win under our belt, but you don't have to win in order to get a championship either. You know, you have two ways of winning. You got the nightly win, you know, the race night, or you got a championship you can shoot for.
I know Martin Sullins, and I believe it was 14. He didn't win a race all year, but he still won the championship because he was consistent and he was there.
Right.
He was in the top five. You know, he was there.
Right.
And said, I finished 2 years ago. I finished sixth.
Right.
And but there was 43 cars in the in the point, so it was nice. You know, that was a kind of a win to myself. And,
right.
And Gary and JJ were big helps that year, and I give them all the kudos in the world. They kept me in the, you know, in the points the whole. But the points sometimes it's hard to race for points because you get so caught up in that and you forget about
that's tough.
You forget about having fun.
Right.
And that's what
it, it becomes work. It does. When you're points racing, it does become work. It does take some of the fun away. It does add a little different element to it that does make it competitive, obviously.
But your competitive side will always win out. I know mine does.
Right.
Every time I'm at that track, I'm like, I'm just going to go out there and have fun. And you get in that car, you put that helmet on, and you're just like, okay, we're here to win now. So here we go.
Well, you know, hey, again, I'm glad to see 2017 kind of getting behind us. I can't believe it's already here. Next week's a new year already. Of course, our next show is going to be into the new year, the first the day into the new year, I guess it is.
Second
day, right. Won't be the first, but it'll be in New Year's in 2018. This is our last show of this year. You know, I do want to throw it out there before I do forget to say Happy New Year to everybody and, you know, be safe. Coming up, don't do anything stupid. Have fun in a safe place. Get yourself designated drivers. You know, sometimes we forget about that, and you know, it's too easy to make a mistake.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, make sure you pair up with you know some friends that maybe don't drink. Or there's a lot of services out there. I know RTC's going free rides all night. They have AAA. Has a tow, they'll tow and
you'll tow your car home.
Right. I mean, you take advantage of all those.
There's a thing called, I believe it's designated drivers, and somebody will actually come pick up your car and drive your car home to make sure you have your car the next morning and you get home safe.
So look that stuff up. Put them in your phone now, whether you think you're going to use it or not, you know.
Call Uber.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll come pick you up.
Nowadays, it's that easy.
Yep.
Just Uber, Lyft, whatever, you know, get a ride home. Pick up your car later or something like that. Just too easy to get a ride nowadays. There's no excuses, you know, and it is, you know, too easy to make a mistake out there and all that. Nobody wants to have anything bad happen to themselves or somebody else. So
if you drank one or two beer, you mean it's stupid, you know, time to just relax. And
now you have recreational marijuana is legal and there's going to be a lot of impaired drivers out there. So if you're not on the offensive side, make sure you're on the defensive side and keep your eyes open.
Oh, yeah.
That's almost a daily thing, right?
That's every day, all day. Actually, on the drive over here, I seen somebody roll their car right in front of me.
No kidding.
It looked like they might have been on their phone.
Oh, yeah.
And that's right on Boulder Highway. Then they went right into the ditch. And it looked like they were on their phone and just kind of swerved away and hit the little thing. And
it happens that quick. I know the other day some guy was on his phone. He almost swerved into me. I kind of backed off, and then he, like, stepped on it and went around the Summerlin Curve area getting on the freeway, and then he, like, hit the curb. But he saved it, but it was that close. He almost
Some people
it.
Need to focus on the road ahead of them. Some people can't drive, period, and you put a phone in their hand and it's 10 times worse.
Maybe that's what we should do, have a cell phone racing out at the LV, and everybody has to be on their phone. and race.
Funny story. Somebody actually got in trouble for that two years ago in the Bombers. I remember hearing it over the race receiver. It was either Richter or Fitzgerald came over the radio and was like, "We're getting reports. Somebody just was on their phone."
No way.
The flag guy, I guess it was under caution. The flag guy saw it.
Wow.
And I'm like, "Can you?" that's pushing it. Like, I have my phone on me just because. Not that I don't trust everybody.
Right.
I don't want to leave it at my trailer when nobody else is around it. And
that's funny.
You go on the track, but mine's tucked inside my fire suit. That was after my wreck on July 3rd. I actually pulled my phone out as I'm sitting, literally sitting on the track, and I took pictures of my car sitting on the infield.
Well, you know, that does bring up everybody has cell phones nowadays, and it is distracting sometimes. And, you know, and now that's the thing. A lot of people have it just like for your – you know, situation is, hey, I just want it in case something happens. I can text or call my mom or whoever and say, hey, I'm okay, or whatever the situation is. But it wasn't that long ago. We didn't have to have that damn phone on us. You know what? Can't we wait 10 minutes?
when I raced that night, I tucked it into my fire suit and I zipped up my fire suit, put my neck brace off and my helmet on. And after the wreck, I pulled it out because we were on the track. I don't know if you were there that night. We were on the track for a good 20 minutes during the cleanup. And I actually received two phone calls as I'm sitting on the track from two people that were in the stands just checking on me. And I was like, I was good. I mean, I was sore. That was a brutal hit.
But
I mean, you kind of like take it back and you're like, I'm good. Just, you know, leave me alone for a minute. I'll be good. You realize how much money you just kind of destroyed.
You know, we've all, not everybody, but a lot of racers at some point have been in that position. I've totaled a car out there in the old configuration a while ago, back in the mini stock days. But, you don't realize, you know, till after you're like, oh, man, I got to get a whole nother car. And, of course, that's where our friends like Steve over at Pick Apart can go to Nevada Pick Apart.
My car ended up there.
Take out what you can that may be salvageable, and then go find another car. They're still out there, still available, but
there wasn't much savable in my car.
Really,
but...
yeah, unfortunately. But luckily, the safety equipment did what it was supposed to do. You know, that's something like with the NASCAR licensing. It adds an additional safety with insurance and all that. I know that's something that a lot of guys forget about. Not only are you covered with when you're, you know, at the track, but it adds if some guys that travel to the tracks and all that, it does add a extra safety there for guys. So keep that in mind when you're paying that $100 or whatever it costs now for a sanctioning body like that.
When was it, like 4 years ago? Jim Sherrard actually got hurt really bad in a Bomber. Him and Jason Solomon went head on with each other, and I know he messed up his back really bad, and that was a big thing. Like, you don't want it to happen, but you're glad it's there when it does happen.
Exactly. It's just a little extra coverage, you know. But anyways, so coming up, let's look at 2018 real quick. I know we're running out of time. We only got a couple minutes. What do you see for LVMS? I mean, you're looking forward to some of the – I'm not looking at the dirt, looking at the asphalt. You know, what do you see for LVMS coming up? You see some exciting things happening in 2018. Any changes you think they should make, or
I want
checking, anything like that? Safety?
I want to see the Bombers go back to Bomber racing. That's what I want. I really want.
But why do you think that? I mean, not to get into detail, is it teching? Is it what do you think the problem is?
Like we have talked about before, I think it's a lot to do with teching. Don't tech one thing one night. And it came pretty much that. You know, they're looking at a script almost.
Well, they should be, because teching should be as easy as looking at a script, I think. Do you think that's something that's happening in every division? Do you see it, hear about it in super late models, let's say?
Yeah, I know I don't really know a whole lot of super late guys.
But
you've
hung out with some of the guys, and you hear the buzz and the talk sometimes. So.
And it got sad last year that they weren't even teching the super lates, and that was another thing that kind of got brought up when the Bombers were in there, and they were more concerned about the top three Bombers doing, you know, checking like heads, and it came to a religion that July 3rd they tech heads on the Bombers. I mean, that's what I was talking about. It goes to a script,
well,
and I think that's
good to know. so you know not to do anything with your head. So.
On July 3rd.
On July 3rd.
And it came
what's
down.
The with that?
Like the last race of the year, they always, it's always a, hey,
right.
We're tearing your motor down. And it's just, it's when guys start figuring that
so,
out. Like,
so for you, tech is probably a something that they need to get more consistent
yeah.
on a race to race.
I mean, I think you need to look at the guys that are out there, and you see the guys that are dominating, figure
well,
out what they're
doing. But
that's
why they look at heads
yeah.
and things like that, is to try to find issues. And when they don't, what are they supposed to do? You know, you can't drop a bag of cocaine in their seat. You know, like you got to look for certain things. And, hey, this is what I know that has nothing to do with it. But, you know, what I'm saying is you can't set them up. Hey, if they didn't find any problems, they didn't find any problems. So you move on to a different tech item.
I agree. You know,
yeah.
I think they should tech more often.
Okay.
You know, they shouldn't tech every now and then.
So do you think it should be like a, you know, talking about script, to me, teching should be as easy as being on a script.
Yeah.
Do you think they should pre-announce to, hey, on this race, we're teching this race, we're
no.
teching that, or let's say a list of items, and it could be any of those things that they pick from. But everybody knows what it's going
to
be.
I think it needs to stay in tech. I think they need to, you know.
Okay.
I think they need to know what they're looking for. Sometimes you can. I know a couple of tech guys out there, and these are my opinions, and they're not the brightest.
Trust me. These are Justin's opinions, by the way. But you know what? But they don't have. But that's the thing is. Some of them guys might not know, let's say, a bomber, so they don't tech certain things, but they know a super late model. That's why certain things, you know, are let through on other divisions or different cars. I don't know. I'm just speculating.
I personally think that they need to have someone that knows their ass from a hole in the ground pretty much, and I don't think some of those tech guys
yeah,
really
but,
do know that.
But then that's what's. But do you think that's what's – if that happened, then usually what happens at that point is then – everybody calls him, you know, hey, he's an asshole, whatever it is, you know, this guy's always picking on me, but hey, he's doing his job.
Exactly. I mean, as a racer, you know your roles. You know what you can and can't do. I mean, if you're going to be the douchebag that you know, pushes that limit, then you're kind of like opening yourself up for that criticism or that hatred or whatever the case may be. It's not the tech guy's fault, you know. For doing your job, I mean.
So we need to see more consistent teching all across the board, whether it's in a skid plate car
exactly.
or a super late model
exactly.
division.
I mean, your customers don't yell at you and call you an asshole when you fix their AC. And
sometimes they do, no matter what you do, right or wrong. But yeah,
again,
exactly.
you're doing your job. I mean, it's
all right.
They have AC now, but just because you did your job,
right. Well, hey.
They might not like how much you charge them, but I mean, some people do, some people don't.
So that's, a good opinion is consistent teching. That's something that I think everybody across the board wants to see. I don't think anybody's intentionally out there trying to cheat or anything like that. I know everybody's always looking for an edge, you know, but there are a few guys that's part of their excitement. The fun is to find the limits and go beyond them. And then that's why the rule pages keep getting longer and longer sometimes, is because they do find things.
That gray area.
Exactly. You know, and but that has to happen sometimes, because that's what, sets the goals for teching and all that. But anyways,
I gotta wish a happy a belated birthday to Cindy Clark. Also, I was told hers is actually the 25th. So,
happy birthday, Cindy, and anybody else we forgot. Happy birthday and Merry Christmas, and again, Happy New Year to everybody coming up. We're not gonna be here till after the New Year.
The excitement.
So, yep. So Happy New Year. Thanks for joining us. We're out of time again, and thanks Justin for being here. And then I'm glad everybody had a safe and good Christmas.
A Merry Christmas.
Yep. And again, we'll see you next year in 2018 live at onwheelsnow.com. Thank you again for joining us. Can't thank you enough. And we're going to have some exciting things coming up in 2018. Make sure you join us. We got the barbecue coming up in February. We got some dates that we'll
That's
let you know about.
Too quick.
Exactly. So there's a lot of good stuff. So keep tuned in next Tuesday at 6 p.m. at onwheelsnow.com. We'll
give me fuel,
keep you informed on that and let you know.
I hope you be safe.
Anyways, that was me. Wrong stuff on the board. So we'll see you live next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Thank you for joining us.
Have a good one.